This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. We're back. Monday, August 12th. The first day of your fucking life. Get up, brush your teeth, do some jumping jacks. Maybe a sit-up. Maybe a rollover. Do something. Oh shit, Lisa, yeah, you bad motherfucker, you. Sitting there all fucking mesmerized. Led Zeppelin, the song remains the same. Off the fucking Houses of the Holy album. Making it happen for you. Oh shit, look at Lee. Jumping up and down, all fucking excited today. Hit it, Lee, here you go. Here you go, here's the wrath of fucking God right here. Smoke that number, get that coffee ready. Put your socks on. It's going to be a beautiful fucking day.
Eat a gummy bear.
Eat a gummy. You got any left? That's my boy. All right, turn that shit off. What's happening, Lisa? Yeah?
I feel great, man.
What's happening, beautiful people? Hope you had a great fucking weekend. The church of what's happening now, it's in full motherfucking effect. What's happening, baby?
I feel great. I took a page out of your book. I went to bed at 10:30 last night.
Come on, now.
I had to because I waking up this early and I would normally stay up till 2. Like when we used to do it when I was working nights, I wouldn't sleep. And I would sleep all day, but I can't do that anymore. So
can't do that. You're a married man now. You got bitches. I'm a
married man.
She comes up on Friday. She does your laundry. She smacks your
do my laundry.
I like it.
Oh.
Shit, you savage. You guys sit together over here naked eating grapes. You just
throw your You said that in front of your wife yesterday.
So what? You still haven't gotten your fucking robe yet?
I'm not going to get a robe.
You sit out there like...
My dad had a robe. I can't do it.
You sit out there like a fucking strutz. How you eat your cheese and crackers?
I don't... Who eats cheese and crackers?
I don't fucking know. What do you eat out there when you're with her watching TV?
I don't know. Whatever we're... I don't... Not cheese and crackers. So I don't cater the events.
What do you have for snacks? After you give her the high hard one, you tell her you love her. You're sitting on the couch watching a movie. What the fuck do you do?
I don't know. She likes yogurt and cantaloupe. I get her that every week.
Okay.
We got ice cream the other day. I don't know, nothing too crazy.
You don't feel like little grapes in the mouth and shit? Remember on your little helmet and then put them in the mouth and shit, your little pinky thing?
Somehow I don't think she'd like that.
Let me tell you something, I'm happy. I'm fucking really happy I'm out of those gummy bears.
Yeah.
Like, I ate fucking a ton of them. There was one point, I think it was Thursday, I was so fucked up in the daytime off those hash gummy bears. Los Hombres, what is it? Those Gumis Los Malos.
Gumis Hermanos.
Los Gumis Hermanos. Those guys do not fuck around. I don't know what they got. They left a machine here with pot in it and fucking carbon monoxide.
As they were filling it up, I'm like, those guys, because I was looking at I was like, he's never going to fill it up. They have like a whole system, and like they were injecting it with hash oil. I'm like,
they don't fuck around.
Joey's never going to do that.
No, I can't. Once I got to start taking it out and putting it on shit, that's where the party ends. I don't have the aptitude. You know, like people always give me oil to take this and put it. That's a fucking mess. You get all over your fingers, all over your paperwork. I don't like that shit on my table. I don't even like a bunk. I got this little pipe they made me.
Yeah.
And I always tips over. Always fucking tips over. So I got little granules of marijuana all over the fucking house. I can't have it. I don't like it.
But I saw your daughter again yesterday. For people who don't know, you taught her a little trick, and you talked about it like un besito or whatever.
Yeah, that means a kiss. Yeah.
And your wife did it to me like 4 times, and she started grabbing my finger, and she's getting really cute.
It's a sweet kid. I'm very fortunate that my wife is sweet, and the sweetness rolls down. I could get nothing from me but being a fucking cocksucker.
Yeah, she does. You were doing this thing this other week where she was like a little bit, like your wife went to the bathroom, and you started doing this like drum solo for her, and yesterday you just started like, she came in and did like this flying kiss to you like 18 times.
Oh yeah, we fuck around. I got her on the program. You got it. You're going to have a kid around. They got to give you some satisfaction somewhere along the line.
She's never going to, she'll see you get mad, but like she'll never, like, people like, will see her and be like, oh, Joey Diaz is your father. Is he crazy? And she'll be like, what? He plays drums and we watch SpongeBob and he kisses me. He's a cute guy. He's a teddy bear.
She knows I'm out of my fucking mind. That's what they like. They like that. You know, anybody can be normal around the kid, but when they think you're out of your fucking tits, they go fucking nuts. Kids love it. You know, I remember when I was a kid and I hung out with people who I knew were crazy. I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved it. They're not like normal people. There's people that want to be normal. There's people that are fucking crazy.
People who don't like kids piss me off. Like that guy last night who kept telling you to move the kid. He just didn't want a little baby near him. And I was like, fuck you.
I don't even know why my wife even... I don't even talk. When those dumb motherfuckers say something at those coffee shops, I don't even fucking say nothing. I just keep the fuck... just shut the fuck up. It's amazing how many people always got to stick their 2 cents in. You know, and there's so many people... first off, I'm deaf.
Yeah.
So... listen, 50% of the time, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. If you're not up in my face and you talk, hey, I'm like, yeah, whoa, yeah, whatever, get the fuck out of here. The other day I was talking to somebody on the phone at the farmer's market. I couldn't understand a word they were saying. We had a 20-minute conversation. I just kept asking them, good day. I don't know what the fuck he's thinking right now. I don't know what the fuck, you know. I don't understand. You know, I'm high 65 fucking percent of the time. Deep high.
That's a low percentage.
You know how many times I see people, like, dog, I see you the other day. And you didn't say nothing. Dog, I didn't even know it was fucking you. I didn't even know it was you. And to be honest with you, if you don't come over and say, I don't even give a fuck. I'm sitting there trying to write a joke or trying to write a book or whatever the fuck we're trying to do.
Yeah.
And that, you know, that place, what bothered me was there was nobody there.
Yeah, it was empty. There was nobody there. It was like 7 o'clock
and,
at night.
And we go over and he's like, hey, somebody might smoke a cigarette. Shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up. And then my wife was the one. I'm like, well, it's okay. Well, why do you even talk to her? Just wave and smile. And they'll go the fuck away. They know. Once you wave and give them that look, they won't fucking say nothing to you, man.
Yeah.
I do it all the time. I don't know what the fuck. I swear to God. You think I'm kidding? I don't know what the fuck people are talking about. Especially around me. Half the time. I just give them some different answer. They look at me like, what the fuck did he say? I don't know what the fuck people want half the time. I don't even know what the fuck they're saying. You think I'm kidding? I don't know. There's times people say, I don't know what the fuck they're saying. I just sit there and smile. Because what am I going to do? Tell them, and then I got to get them all started, and then they start. Let me tell you what happened to me the other day. Okay. Wednesday or Thursday morning, I almost killed my wife and the fucking baby. Because I took the baby to the park.
Okay.
I took her on the swing. Right? And we're playing on the swing, and I take her off the swing, and we go watch the people play tennis, and I walk around with her. And then I always put her back on the swing. And for some reason, she started crying. Mm-hmm. She was hungry, maybe a diaper. I took her out, and while I was pushing her, a black lady, who was very sweet with her daughter, walks past me. And she goes, oh, the baby's crying, look. And as I'm walking back with her, well, that lady, me stopping, it just agitated my daughter even more.
Oh, really?
All right.
She just wanted to get home?
Yeah, she just wants to get home. Now. Then I'm walking, and the lady catches up to me after she drops off her kid. She's like, maybe I can help. I go, no, not really. Let me take her out. She goes, well, maybe take her out, check her diaper. I checked the diaper. I tried to give her the bottle. She was just physically upset. This fucking lady's like, let me grab. I go, listen, lady, I know my daughter. Forget about it. Let me fucking do this. No, I'm a mom. I go, listen, lady, just give me 5 minutes. Now, this lady keeps talking to me. This baby's screaming in my fucking ear. Finally, I just walk away from the lady. I put the lady back in the car seat, and I'm crossing by the fire department. There are people by the fire department. They're like, hey, what's going on with the bag? I go, nothing. She's just having a bad moment. They wave. The one guy knows me. He comes to the comedy shows. I left. I walk up. As I'm ready across the street, this kid's still fucking crying. I'm losing my mind. I take her out of the car seat, and I'm pushing the carriage, and I'm just walking with her.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to calm it down. But the black lady and people asking questions. Finally, we get to this thing, and I see this fucking guy with a hat with a girl, a little girl. And he walks up to me. He's like, is the baby okay? And I look at him. By this point, I'm ready to shoot myself in the fucking head. But everybody's got to be a good fucking Samaritan. So this guy's like, is the baby okay? I look at him, I go, yeah, she's just having a little situation. This motherfucker starts going into father knows best. You know, I have a little baby girl at the house. Maybe you should take a rock. And I look at him and I go, mind your fucking business. I just kept walking. And he was in front of his daughter. Because everybody has always got to fucking say something. Don't say fucking nothing. I don't know. When your kid's crying and you're fucking, it's like people when, it's like the other day I went to eat at somebody's house. Mm-hmm. And the baby was crying. And I'm like, we got to go. And this guy goes into a fucking story. The baby's crying. Conversation's over. What the fuck are you talking about? It's like when I see my wife and she's on the phone with her mother. And the baby starts crying. They're still talking through it. I'm like, no. Put the fucking phone down. Because if I'm on the other side and that baby's crying, I'm hanging the fuck up on you. I can't hear you. I don't want to hear no baby fucking crying on a fucking cell phone. You can hear it in the background, like, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. Same way. I don't, you know, nobody wants to hear a fucking baby cry. Keep fucking walking. Why would you stop me when I'm holding the baby, she's going into a tantrum, and all of a sudden you want to be fucking Marcus Welby? All of a sudden you want to be, and he's asking me these dumb fucking questions, I mean. Dumb fucking questions about, did she get vaccinated? Like shit like that. I'm like, hey, what the fuck?
Baby's crying.
What the fuck? Go the fuck away. Do you think, if you had a baby, you dumb fuck, and your baby's crying, you want somebody fucking playing Jeopardy, asking you fucking questions? I mean, that's the, probably the point of it. You know, everybody's always got, just mind your fucking business. What are you bothering me for? Where's Tony Bennett this morning? It's a beautiful day to be alive. Get out there. Write your goals. Drink some orange juice. If you want to do something, it starts today, motherfuckers. Today is when the dream starts all over again. Maybe you didn't fucking do something last week. Maybe you had a bad week. Maybe you weren't focused. It starts today. What's happening, Lisa? Yeah. Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I want to be around. There you go. Now we're talking, cocksuckers. When?
You should pay someone to follow you around to just play the song whenever you start getting upset. Like, whenever someone, if someone was asking you why your baby's crying, just, I want to be around. Calm down.
I get upset. Did you eat a pretzel yet?
No, I didn't.
Fucking
I'll eat them during the show.
Why are you, why are you talking over Tony Bennett?
Why are you asking me questions?
I didn't ask you no questions. Yeah, smoke some reefer, cocksucker. That's all you need to do. When's the last time you smoked some good fucking high quality grass?
About 14 minutes ago.
Come on over and smoke some more, cocksucker. That's what you promised. That misery loves company. Wait and see. I mean, I want to be around. Oh, shit, Lee. To see how he does it when he
breaks your heart to bits. I'm gonna put my face in the fire with you. Are you crazy?
I went to burn his finger.
For people who don't know, Joey smokes the joints until, like, beyond roaches, and he doesn't use a roach clip or anything. Which is fine, but then he gives it to me when it's all dead, and he tries to get me to put my face next to fire with him. Like, that's going to turn out well.
I try to get my flame in your nose there.
Do you want fire? Do you want fire?
Do you want fat man alert? Fat man alert and shit. I lost fucking 4 pounds.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm 304 and a half or something.
That's awesome. Is it jiu-jitsu, do you think?
I went to 2 jiu-jitsus, and I did 3 or 4 epilepticals last week, 40-minute sessions.
Nice.
And I stuck, you know, I love fucking my weight. I like counting the points. It's easier for me in my head, you mm-hmm. know. And I did some protein shakes instead of meals. I just, you know, it's little things. Plus, I'm not flying. That water I'm retaining, that's why I don't even have my wedding band on.
Why?
Because it flies the fuck off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It flies off my finger. Well, I don't fly all those weeks.
Oh, you get
a... fly, you retain a bunch of fucking water.
Really?
When I fly, my ankles get fat. Like, that's why when I exercise, I walk every hour on the plane.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You gotta do all that shit. You don't want your... That's bad for your circulation. You know, there's radiation on those fucking flights.
I didn't know that.
Which why I take the other one.
Why do you believe that? Like, why do you choose to believe, like, the radiation and walking over, like...
The radiation don't bother. I don't give a fuck about the radiation. It's the circulation up in the air. Your ankles get fat. When you're heavy, it's not... that's why I know what heavy people go through when they fly. It's very fucking hard, you know, on your body. It's very hard on a normal person when you fly. We just don't notice it. That's why I don't plan nothing after I fly. I fuck that shit. No. I don't want to do dick.
I've never noticed that. I'll have to look and see next time I fly.
Especially on those long coast-to-coast flights, you got to be prepared for those. You got to dehydrate, drink a lot of water.
Yeah.
You know, maybe I take a little heart medication to thin out my blood up there. Maybe there's 1,000 things I do. I get up every, you know, 25 minutes, every 30 minutes if it's a long flight and walk around.
Mm-hmm.
I stand in front of the cabin, fuck around my legs a little bit. Fuck yeah, rub some circulation in your leg. You got to drink a lot of, that's why you can't drink alcohol on a flight. You got to be careful on fucking flights, man, you know? Especially when I fly every week, when I have like a 6-week roll or something
and
like that.
And you have a couple long ones coming up.
Oh, man, I fucking fly, you know. I'm going straight to, like, September 18th or something.
Yeah, even later, because we got Portland like the last week of September.
But I'm going straight like 7 weeks in a row or something like that. They're having like a Death Squad convention, a bunch of people meeting.
Yeah.
September 5th, I'm out of fucking town.
Oh, that sucks.
I don't come back till that Sunday or something like that. Yeah, so we're out. We're gone, dog. Hey, you know, we're working. What are you going to do? I got time. If I want to jump up and down, I got a hat with a fucking propeller on it. And get a skateboard and go up and down Chandler and wave at people. I ain't got that type of time. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got that type of time, Lee. You got to fucking, you know, you got to work.
Yeah, absolutely. I was watching something today and I wanted to know what you thought about it. We talk about sports every once in a while. And do you know who Clay Matthews is? He's like a really big linebacker for the Packers.
He used to. Yeah, the blonde guy.
Yeah. And he was sitting there having this interview with this lady reporter. And I was thinking, like, he was like being all articulate and talking about what they have to do for the upcoming season. And I was like, why do people... He's a monster. Like, they were showing him working out and him hitting people. And I'm like, he's a monster. And like, why do people want him to do that and then also come off the field and be able to, like, be articulate and, like, not say things to piss people off? Like, why can't he just be like a fucking monster that he is and hit tackle people and then be that off? Like, why does it have to be both, like, the same thing? Like, for you, like, they expect comics to make people laugh, but then if you say something weird, like something that people find offensive, they get all mad and they want you fired. And they want both. It pisses me off.
Well, listen, man, people's expectations, the thing, when you go and you play sports or something like that for a professional organization, you have to sign contracts. Like UFC fighters have to sign contracts for conduct. Conduct off the fucking field. That's big in the NFL. That's big in the NBA. That's big in all those things. I mean, you don't want a guy coming out and going, fuck you motherfuckers. Next Sunday, I'm going to kill all you. I'm going to take your spine out and shove it up your ass. I mean,
I love it.
A lot of people love pretend it becomes professional wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, and the sport becomes professional wrestling. I knew one thing about comedy. That as a comic, if you judge me on my stage persona, whatever the fuck, which I really don't have a stage persona, it's all the same, I don't give a fuck, you wouldn't like me. But if you got to see my world, you'd maybe think I was okay. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that about a lot of comics and a lot of people in sports. That's why I love Matt Flavor's world.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Matt Flavor's world worked, because it showed my week from during the week, something I wanted people to see. You know, there's a big misnomer that I'm out every week doing it. I don't know, but that's been since day one, what people's thoughts are of you, what their illusion is of you. You know, and for years, even when I was doing Blow, I wasn't doing Blow in the daytime. I was at home watching TV, playing with the cats, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But people have these illusions of you. In the NFL, Clay Matthews is an intelligent guy.
Oh, no, besides he is.
You know, he's what do you want, to come out and talk like a fucking dummy? So
I don't want him to talk like that, but I don't... Like when I don't like it that if they're like that, that's great, but I don't like that they want, like that it's required now. Like they like people come out and they have to talk like they're like a professor, but then they can go on the field and go kill people.
Fuck, you know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck.
I give a fuck.
Clay Matthews and his bullshit. What do I give a fuck? What Clay Matthews got to say and all this shit? It's over. You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm excited about football season to a degree because now there's something to do for people on Sundays.
Yeah. Well, not for you. You're not going to watch.
No, I watch 10 seconds. What do I give a fuck about Clay Matthews and what he's got to say off the field?
That's my point, though, yeah.
What's your point?
Then who cares what he has to say?
Like, yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Let him go play football.
Yeah, go play football and tackle people and bite them in the fucking neck. You know what's got to do with me? It's funny how I was watching something about 3 or 4 weeks ago when they said something on it that just fucked my mind up. They were talking about pain.
Uh-huh.
How a lot of people... You don't really know what pain does to you. You know, you always... It's like when you go work out. You know, I was talking to a CrossFit guy about a month ago, and he was saying that, you know, he likes this CrossFit stuff, and a lot of people don't like working out. You don't like working out.
I hate it.
You just think it's boring or whatever, and they don't like the feeling the next day. But for me, working out does something different. You know, for everybody, it does something different, you know. I would love to be skinny from working out, but for me, it breaks down a joke in my mind. It just gives me an hour to myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I tell people exercise is. That's why when I exercise, I don't want to talk to nobody. I don't want to exercise partners. It's my hour. I don't even want my cell phone on me. I don't take my cell phone into jiu-jitsu. I don't take my cell phone into kickboxing. I don't take my cell phone into the YMCA. It's my fucking hour. It's my hour to digest the bullshit that goes into your fucking ear. Because a lot of bullshit goes into you. You go, let me think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like when somebody comes to you and says, I have an idea, and this is the time. This is my hour. For some people, you know, I know jiu-jitsu is fucking hard. Jiu-jitsu is hard when you're 25. I'm dying when I'm in there at 50, but I know there's a result. I know there's an end result. So they always say that the big expression in this country is no pain, no gain. You know, but then there's different pain. And that's the pain of frustration, of a death, of somebody dying. And but in this statement, he said that you took pain and you used it to get to the next level. And pain always does make you go to the next fucking level. You know, I was very frustrated last week. There was a couple days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I was fucking, my inner dialogue was frustrated.
Any reason?
You know, I can't, I'm not writing. I was looking for that program to write the book. You know, my toe was broken. I couldn't work out to the ability. You know, for 3 weeks I drove to Marina Del Rey to get a needle in my knee.
Yeah.
To make my knee feel better, and now I break my fucking toe. So do you understand me? You know, yeah. I wasn't going to jiu-jitsu. When I do go to jiu-jitsu, my breathing's off. And it's funny, yesterday I knew I was going to go to the open mat yesterday from 1 to 2. And Saturday night, Stephen Kepling, one of the guests we had on the podcast, sent out an email speaking about breathing and how important it is and the problems of beginning jiu-jitsu because you go into stress. You stress out because you can't breathe. So you go into breath debt. And now you hold breath and you're not breathing. You're catching up and you got to tap out because you can't catch up. And that's what was my problem. So I always do this thing. He talks about not hyperextending, but going into a state of hyperactivating your lungs, like where you can't breathe, you're almost to the sense of passing out, and then it becomes easy. And I've been doing that for weeks.
Okay.
I just get on my back and shrimp roll until I can't breathe no more, until I see stars. And I walk around like I'm going to walk to the door to leave because that's the pain I'm getting. But once I go through that, I know that the rest of the hour is easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that the other hour is easy, but that's not the point. The point of this was sometimes you go through something. You don't think you deserve it, whether it's a death. You know, I got stronger in so many fucking ways. I got stronger after my mother died. I got stronger after I didn't make it to the basketball team when they cut me. And I had to make a decision that basketball wasn't going to be my future anymore. You get stronger when you get disappointment. And it makes you a little focused sometimes, you know, and you need that. And people think that it's the end of the world, and it's not. Sometimes when you're having your roughest fucking week, there's a cloud to this. You're just going through a cloud, and that cloud's going to pass, and the sunlight's going to be there, and you're going to be that much fucking stronger. You know, every time I go on stage and I bomb, it's bad fucking news, but I become stronger because of the pain and the embarrassment that you fucking go through. You know, on the ride home, you're like, what the fuck just happened? You know what just happened? I went up there too cocky. I didn't do this joke in the beginning. I giggled in the beginning. I did this. And all of a sudden, you learn from it. So for some people, they get very disappointed. I like to pick up my balls 2 days later and go, I'm happy this happened. You know, the biggest strength I got was when I got divorced. The biggest strength I got was when I walked away from Jacqueline, knowing that I was going to have this pain, but I was going to make this pain work for me. I was going to go and do comedy. I'm not going to come back till I do something with my life.
Yeah.
And I'll suffer in the meantime of not having contact or not living in Boulder with my daughter, but the pain will drive me to become a better person, which it did. Sometimes I blame me being a loser for staying here and continually doing comedy. No, it was a pain of going back. You know, sometimes, you know, I always joke around that, you know, I had nowhere to go. So I stayed here in town and did spots. And today we're here fucking around and I'm an established comedian. And I'm good at what I do because I stuck with it. But I stuck with it because of the pain of going back. So pain is good. That was the topic. It's funny because so I got an email last week. I always get a ton of emails. I get great emails and I get a lot of emails. Hey, what's up? You know, hi, by 2 o'clock. But I also get emails about people going through pain. And I always tell them, you know, whatever you're going through, bro, it's going to make you 3 times stronger. You're going to see the playing field that much more clearer because you went through this fucking pain.
Yeah.
You know, so just work with it. Just work with it. I'm walking with this fucking pain in my toe. It's not pain. It's general pain. It's not the pain you go through from getting dumped or from loving somebody and they say they don't want to spend their life with you. We've all gone through that, you know, and it makes you tougher. You know, I was done with pussy in the sixth grade after I got left back, you know what I'm saying? But still, it's so weird how I get a lot of email. Man, it fucking kills me that I wish a politician can't help what's going on with America today and what goes on when you're 20 and when you're 22, the confusion that goes on. Nobody can help you but fucking you. You know, mm-hmm. we talk about your student loans and colleges and jobs. And I'm going to tell you something, guys, you know, just because your job ain't working for you today, it doesn't mean that that's the job you got to stick it out with. It's a job, which means you keep moving until you find what you want to do. Do you know I did everything?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know I did everything.
Yeah.
From bartending to roofing to... I must have been a manager trainee at 80 fucking different organizations. From lumber yards to shoes to Foot Locker. You know, I was a manager trainee at Foot Locker.
Yeah, at the mall that you... At the mall with stolen credit cards.
The mall with stolen credit cards. So, you know, people get discouraged. Oh, man, I hate my fucking job. Dog, I had 90 fucking jobs. I was worse than Lee. If something pissed me off, I was in that fucking... I was in that one ads the next day. And I know how to get a job. I'm like you. We know how to get a job. Get in there. Send a fucking call, email. Get yourself in front of the people. Get in there, talk. And hopefully you go for three of those, you'll get one of them. That's it. That's all interviews are.
And it's starting to... it's a little bit different because people think I leave jobs. I'm not leaving. It just shows
your end. Job ends. Sorry.
Well, no. But I have quit a couple jobs. But I'm starting to realize what I went to school for isn't really what I want to do. And it kind of is because I'm doing some of that stuff.
You would have the fucking country. You would have the fucking country, but they owe student loans and now they're stuck.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of fucking an unhealthy living. Like right there, as soon as you fucking get into a hole, that's it.
As soon as
you get into a hole emotionally, physically, you're like, oh, that's my job. I can't quit. I owe a mortgage. I got to take that boss's bullshit because who's going to feed my kids, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of fucking death, you know? But people tell you all the time, there's no jobs out there. There's fucking jobs. You have to create your own position.
Yeah.
You know, you create a fucking different position every 2 weeks. We're always doing something here. We're doing something there. It's just an amazing fucking thing. So... You know, if you have a bad job, just know one fucking thing. Somebody sent me an email and said that, you know, you hit it right in the head when you said if you have a dream, it makes your job go by easier. It really does.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a dream, you're like, fuck, sucking this guy's asshole for $8 ain't as bad as it ain't as bad as it is because in a year I'll be a country's western singer.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be living in Nashville. You know what I'm saying? So when you dig a trench, you're like, fuck it, this is just temporary.
Yeah.
I'm only doing this today. Tomorrow I'm going to be living my fucking dream. And that makes the job go by easier. I didn't have a dream of being a comedian. I just had a dream of, I didn't have to work.
Yeah.
You know, that was the dream I wanted. And you got to be careful what you dream for. I have anxiety. It gives me anxiety sitting around all fucking day sometimes writing jokes and babysitting. But I should be doing something. I should be building a house or working at a fucking library, giving out books or something like that. But it's really weird the things that we... think are a pain in the ass and we could just move on. And you're the king of it. I've never seen somebody who doesn't take no shit.
When I first came out here, I did. And these jobs, and not just this industry, but from the one I'm going through, it's this industry. When you start out anything, you take more shit than you should. And I'm starting to realize that it's not worth it for like for me to be happy is worth more than a little bit of money every week. So I'd rather make a third of what, like a third less, and like by taking unemployment or whatever, than having to deal with the bullshit that I'm going through sometimes. So, but you have to make a decision. I mean, some of the nicest things people have said to me is I met this one guy. I think it was either in Brea or Irvine when you did it, and he said I work at a warehouse and he lifts boxes for like 12 hours a day. He said I listen to it all day every day, and I'm like that. Like, sometimes you just have to go through it and, like, push through it and, like, to know that, like, people listen to this when they're working their shitty jobs. I mean, it feels awesome. Like, he worked... Like, I couldn't imagine working in a warehouse for an hour. I couldn't do it. Like, just lifting boxes all day, every day.
I did it. I loved it.
You loved it?
I loved it. I loved it. I loved... But I did it correctly. I was a stock clerk at a Masbach Century Hardware warehouse.
Okay.
Where they send out hardware, you know, different stores, you know. This mm-hmm. is not now. I don't even think they exist now. But I remember they used to have chains, like dog chains, those big, thick chains.
Yeah.
And they come in a box.
Okay.
And you had to carry those things, and people hated doing the chains. I loved doing the chains. When I was 18, when I was in high school, I'd go in there and do chains. And I was the type of person that always created my own jobs. Mm-hmm. I didn't like, and I hate fucking somebody telling me what to do. So if you give me a job, Lee, like your assistant, you give me a job, there's days I'll come in and I'll move that thing, sweep it, take all the books out, put them in alphabetical order. I'm one of those idiots. Because I know it kills 8 hours.
Yeah.
I know that if I'm stoned, it really doesn't matter what I'm doing. When you're stoned, it makes the time go by that much easier.
Yeah.
When you smoke a joint, you go into it. But see, now everybody's getting piss tested at these fucking jobs.
Yeah.
But those shitty jobs aren't shitty. When you take two hits off a fucking bong and go in there in your car and go, what the fuck? I got to load boxes. You put an iPod on or a Walkman. You know, I put a Walkman on for years.
Yeah.
And I did whatever job day. I loaded trucks. I worked in a warehouse. I remember after we robbed Michael's Jewelers.
Yeah.
Me and Stinky and a bunch of guys. We hit out. And I came back and I had money, Lee. I had about, you know, $10,000. When you're 18, that's a fucking $500,000.
Yeah.
But people always said, you, even if you have money, you have to keep a job.
Mm-hmm.
So I took this fucking job, Lee, down in Edgewater. You ever see, what's the movie with Stallone and De Niro where they're all cops? Copland.
Okay.
Where they filmed it, that's called Edgewater, New Jersey. Okay. Mm-hmm. H&B Diner. There's that post office there. There's the liquor store where they used to drink at. And my friend Fernie Bassasudo had a diner called B&B Diner.
Okay.
Fernie was a crazy motherfucker, half Cuban, half Puerto Rican, big motherfucker, didn't say much, wore thick glasses, partied with the best of them. That was the first person I met that you didn't have to look like a rock star to party. Like, you see people that, oh my God, I just partied out, and they have that look.
Yeah.
This guy looked like a nerd, but he fucking snorted, he did heroin, he would do three hits of acid. I mean, Fernie used to blow my mind. And I miss him today, and I love him dearly today, and I see his brother on, Fernie won't talk to me.
Oh, he won't?
Nah, because we lost a bunch of money in gambling.
Oh, he was the one who lost
the $60,000.
Yeah.
So till this day, he always, the underlying thing was I left him there with the holding on to the bag. It was his money. He blew it.
Yeah.
I owed the guy $8,000. I left. He paid the $60,000. Fuck him. You know, fuck him. What does he want from me? So, and it hurt me. It hurt me that me and Fernie had not tied him when we were on. I heard things about him years later. He was hooked on heroin. He got all fucked up. That gambling thing really did fuck him up. It fucked him up for life. What was I talking about? I get back on the lam, and Fernie asked me to live with him.
Mm-hmm.
So I moved down to his basement. His mother and father lived on the third floor. Some hot teacher lived on the second floor. We lived in the fucking basement. And about a week later, you know, I'm out every night, and somebody says, you got to get a fucking job because they're watching. You know, people are watching. You got back. You got to get a job. So I got a job at a fucking warehouse that shipped out the, you know, when you see potato chips at Ralph's or the supermarket, the racks.
Oh, okay.
The racks. All those metal racks come from somewhere. It's a union shop in Edgewater, New Jersey. And they had everything. They made them from A to Z. They made them, and then they painted them, and they got them ready for Entenmann's Cakes or Hostess Twinkies, whatever the fuck it was. Then you ship them out to the supermarkets. So Fernie's father got me a job working in this. You ready for this? It was fucking 5 in the morning.
Uh-oh.
Till like 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 to fucking 3. It was union. At the time, it was 1982. It was $6.80 an hour.
Ooh.
And then after 90 days, you went to like $15 an hour.
Okay.
But we got the job in October, which means we had to be in a car in front of Fernie's house at 4:20 in the fucking morning, 4:25. Do you have any idea what that's like when you're 18 years old? When you just got out of high school, that's the first winter after high school.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first winter after fucking high school. And we get in the car, and Fernie at 4:30 would already be hitting the Blackberry Brandy because he had to be at his father's by 5 to start cooking the food because people come in for breakfast at 5:36.
Yeah.
So Fernie worked at his father's,
mm-hmm.
and me and Glenn Conti, Stinky, worked up at that warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing. We made no fucking, you know, we spent our money on the tab. We basically paid the tab at the diner that we ate lunch and breakfast on. So we'd get there with Fernie, we'd eat breakfast, put on the tab, and then we'd leave and come back for lunch, eat on the tab. At the end of the week, when we get paid and Fernie would give us a ride home, because, you know, $5 an hour after taxes is nothing.
Yeah.
It's like 200 fucking bucks. That was our tab.
Yeah. That was your life.
And I remember sitting in that car being fucking hungover from the night before, freezing.
Yeah.
You know what it is to get in a car in fucking December in Jersey or Boston or New York or upstate? you're fucking freezing in the morning. You're shivering. You're in the fucking back. And you're thinking about you're not going to this job no more. I mean, I know all about that, man. Yeah. We did that job till we almost killed somebody.
What?
We almost killed somebody in that fucking warehouse by mistake. Because they liked us. So we worked under this black guy.
Okay.
We worked under this skinny, cool, slick black dude. You know, one of those older black. So we were maybe 18. This guy was maybe 50.
Yeah.
But he was a bad, slick motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? And at lunchtime, he would send us for a bottle of whiskey, a blackberry brandy. And he would drink it. He'd be like fucking drinking little sips. So one day, you know, the boxes, the metal things come in boxes.
Yeah.
So me and Glenn, I mean, this is how easy this job was. Sometimes we'd go there at 5 and we'd set up the boxes and we'd set them up like football.
Yeah.
So we put 6 guys in front. We'd get 2 tackles and we'd play one-on-one football with those guys blocking the boxes. So we would move the boxes and shit. Crazy shit. That's how bored we were.
Yeah.
In the middle of the winter, we'd go outside at 7 in the morning and set up the boxes, put gloves on, and we'd make believe we were running backs and he'd have to tackle me and I'd tackle him. I mean, that's how much they liked us. But the one fucking day, I'll never forget this, this guy, he says, you guys, we got to stock up like 200 motherfucking boxes. I'm like, all right. And this guy was a great guy. I forget what his name is. If he's dead, God bless his soul, because he was very good to us. So he got on the bottom. We had to get, like, every warehouse has, like, a little floor, like, a little opening, like, a second, third floor.
Yeah.
So he's like, what you guys are going to do is you're going to send the boxes down to me.
Okay.
So what we're going to do is I'm going to throw them. You pick up the boxes over your head, and you just go like that very lightly, and it goes down, and he would catch them. That's how long he was doing. He'd stack them, boom, and he'd stack them. So we got into a, we and Glenn Conti would just send them.
Was there stuff in the boxes, or were they
no,
empty?
No, empty flat. They're empty flat boxes. Okay. They're not even being built yet. They're empty and flat. So me and Glenn are giving them the fucking box. We're sending them down, picking them up. The whole thing. This goes on for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, this old guy don't stop with doing it. Finally, I pick one up. It's windy.
Oh, no.
It's windy behind me. I can feel the wind blowing right off the Hudson. I take the fucking thing and I just whip it down and I see him look up. And all of a sudden I see the wind take the box. And he loses it. He loses it in the sunlight like a fucking outfielder. He lost the box in the sunlight. And I see him like stepping back like it's coming at him. And it picks up momentum from the fucking thing. And it's going. It's shooting. You know like when you see a rocket headed to Mars, like to the United States, to the world. Like it just shoots down. And all of a sudden you see him and it just fucking clocked him right in the bridge of the nose. You heard like, and he went down. There was blood everywhere, fucking bleeding from his head, his nose. I mean, we almost killed him. We didn't come back after that. I mean,
you didn't come back after that?
Nah. We stayed for like 3 hours. We didn't even make the union.
Oh,
didn't
no.
Didn't even make the fucking union. It's tough to make $5 an hour when you can steal for a living.
Yeah,
I'm gonna $5 an hour in insurance in 90 days. I'm over here selling Quaaludes, making a fucking real living. You know what I'm saying? What's happening, you beautiful motherfucking cocksuckers? Get up. Get up. It's a beautiful day to be alive. Make yourself that promise. It's gonna be a fucking great week. You're gonna make it happen. And that's it. That's the best of fucking things you can do, Lisa, yeah?
Absolutely.
And this, I'll tell you what I also been doing. So
what?
Friday. You know what? You people think like we're here fucking talking shit to you people, but I try to help you guys as much as I can. I try to give you whatever I got. If I don't like something, I tell you all the time, I like this fucking shroom tech.
Oh, yeah.
I like it.
The sport.
And then Einstein told me it gives you, those shroom caps give you a lot more blood, red blood cells.
Okay.
That's why you feel so much better. That's why you feel like, last night, I couldn't lie to you. 10 o'clock, I was still fucking awake from those things. The shroom tech sport, if you take them before, like I took them before jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
I had to go to jiu-jitsu at 1. I take them an hour before, 12. At 10 o'clock, I could still feel them in my body.
Really?
I could still feel that upper high. Dog, I ate a bunch of pretzels in front of you.
Yeah.
I wasn't that high. And I ate a Chibo chew yesterday, and I had a fucking gooby bear. I mean, let me get a fucking gooby bear. Let me get some. I'm in the mood to fucking get high today. Today's a good day to get fucking stoned. It's Monday. Get it together, cocksucker.
Oh, my God.
Los hombres malos. That's how we do it here. Auntie Dolores was in time. I'm all out of edibles. You know I had like a box of edibles in the fucking
house. Always have a box of edibles.
I had Chibos. I had fucking Goobies. I had more shit than you could control. I don't want this shit in my house no more. I love getting high. You know I love smoking marijuana.
No, I would never have guessed that. That's 250.
Who gives a fuck? It's 8 in the morning.
Holy shit.
You can't walk on one leg. And I ate the bag of pretzels.
keep an eye on TMZ today, guys.
Fuck TMZ. And I had a fucking protein shake. I had a forced protein shake with a banana.
Oh, you're on fire this morning.
Fire and Alpha Brain and my blood pressure medication. So somebody's getting fucking stabbed in the neck today, bitches. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
What's going on, Lee? Nothing. How was your weekend with you? You in love?
Yeah. I mean, we haven't said that yet, but yeah.
You haven't told her you love her?
No, it's you said something to me last night, because you always make fun of me that I'm going to move a girl in. But you said, like, why keep an eye on a clock? And there's, like, there really isn't a reason. But if, it, like, I don't know. It's always tough at the beginning. You feel like you love them, but it's you don't want to say it too early or anything. So we haven't said that yet. But it's going great.
Why you're eating a monkey, I love you.
No.
You're down there fucking stabbing it with your fingers. It's going quick, 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 quick. And you tell her, I love you, you dirty bitch.
I don't think she'd respond well to that.
What, when you're eating her monkey and you lick that fucking...
Saying, I love you, you dirty bitch, no.
You never know, they like it. You pull their hair and you go, I love you, dirty bitch. You look them in the eye, you look at them all fucking cockeyed. You know, with that pussy breath. They love that shit. You get pussy breath?
After that...
Or you eat some gum afterward?
No, I don't eat gum afterward, no.
You walk around with pussy breath and breathe on them and shit?
I don't breathe on them again.
You don't give a... Nothing like that to the eyebrow, just to get a wake up to know who the Captain Kirk of the Enterprise is. You dirty bitch. Look at you. You're in love. I'm happy for you, Lee. You know that, right? You're a good man.
Thank you,
deserve
buddy.
To be. What happened to Ashley? You got rid of those people.
No, we talk every once in a while. We're friends. I saw her last week, but I haven't seen her for a month before that or something.
You talked to her this week? Huh?
No.
All week?
Yeah. She got me a birthday present, so I called her. Just like a funny little desk thing, like a little...
Funny little desk thing. Tell her shut up her fucking ass, all right? Tell her what was the blowjob when you needed a fucking funny little desk thing.
Jesus
That's
Christ.
What's wrong with America. They want to... Listen, I want a gift. I want you to lick my nuts with a fucking song on, all right?
With the song on?
Yeah. What song? I don't know. I got to think about it. I don't know a fucking song. People always get you the wrong fucking... You know what I'm saying? All you wanted was a little lick nut for your birthday, right? You wouldn't mind if you pick up your helmet and let...
I had my new girl on my birthday. I didn't care.
She licks your nuts too, you filthy animal.
Oh, because she's going to meet you Wednesday, so I don't know why I can't.
She ain't coming to no show. She got homework to do. She got shit to do. You're going to drag her out all night. She got homework. She's going to law school.
She hasn't started yet.
She's bums like me and you.
She hasn't started yet.
You going to eat that goomy?
No, I can't eat 250 milligrams before I go to work.
It's Monday morning. Just take a little bite out of respect for Monday.
I'll take it when I don't have a job anymore.
What job? You don't have a job. You can call them this morning and say, you know what? I was looking for a job when I found that one. Go fuck yourself.
All right? Have you ever done, like, I was talking to my girl's cousin yesterday, and she said, because she used to work at McDonald's, and she took a little cash register and threw it on the floor when she quit. I've never done anything like that. I would love to quit a job like that. Have you ever quit a job like that? Like, just go and say, like, fuck this place.
I went to work for this about 1980 something. I met a kid in fucking Denton, Aspen.
Yeah.
Called Doug.
Yeah.
I don't know what his last name is. And the story was, I was friends with him. You know, I knew him from around. He worked at the Crestwood Hotel, the Crestwood Lodge in Snowman's Village, and I knew him.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, how you doing? You know, everybody did coke. He hung out with friends of mine. And I left. I went back to Jersey. And I heard that while I was gone one night, he was doing coke with a chick.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the bathroom. When he came back, he accused the chick of stealing his coke, like there was a line missing.
Mm-hmm.
So he took a shotgun and he made the chick get naked. He searched her until she had the line of fucking coke. So the cops had to come, disarm him. He did a year in jail. They called him Shotgun Doug.
Jesus.
So I never saw him. Never saw him again. So I get back to Colorado in 93. I'm doing stand-up in New York. I'm living with Georgie. He's doing heroin. I'm all fucked up on the coke, whatever. But I'm going to come back. I'm going to move back to Boulder. I'm going to be a dad. I'm going to do comedy. I'm going to be... Just stay in Boulder until my comedy career takes off.
Okay.
I was fucking horrendously bad. And I moved back to fucking Boulder. And I get a job at Sprinkler Auto Sales in Longmont, Colorado. It's a buy here, pay here. It's a potluck place.
Mm-hmm.
Where they have cars, but people who are destitute come in and they pay the fucking high price because they need the interest.
Yeah.
They didn't pay their water bill for 20 years. Now they can't get a car, so now they got to pay extra for this fucking car. And you made... Cashly.
Okay.
Like in 3 days, I made $2,000.
Shit.
All right. Right before Christmas. So it's like December 18th, December 19th, they're having a Christmas party at Sprinkler Auto Sales.
Okay.
All right. So we're all there. Who shows up at this party?
Shotgun Doug.
Shotgun Doug. Doug, what's up? Oh, shit. I haven't seen you since Aspen. And in conversation somewhere, I go, Doug, they really call you Shotgun Doug? And he goes, fuck you. And he laughs and giggles it off. So we start playing basketball, and this motherfucker, as we're playing basketball, I guess he took offense to the Shotgun Doug comment.
Okay.
So every time he would block me, he goes, I heard you went to prison too, bitch. Did you fuck black people in the ass? Or he wasn't saying that. He was saying it more. And I couldn't believe him. And I knew this guy, and I knew he was a half a tough guy, but really? It's Christmas week, and you want to fuck with me?
Yeah.
So we keep playing basketball. Now it's getting a little bit more physical between him, me and him. The game ends. I give it about 15 minutes, and you know me. I call him into the back. I go, Doug, come here. I'll show you something. There's an alleyway.
Okay.
There's two alleyways, and it was a trailer.
Okay.
It was a trailer. It wasn't a building. It was a trailer. It stood by itself. Mm-hmm. And that inside was where the party's at. And I took him, and I go, what was that comment you made? And I went, and I smacked him. But as I got to smack him, I left my hand up there.
Yeah.
And I just pulled out whatever thing I had to him. I banged his head off the fucking trail like 10 times. Yes. Boom, boom, you motherfucker, you dummy. I was crazy then. Crazy. Old man Sprinkler comes out with the workers. They take me off me. They say I'm fired.
Okay.
They're like, you're fired. I go back inside and I go, I want my fucking check within 5 minutes or I'm wrecking this fucking Christmas table. And old man Sprinkler turned pale. He goes, I'll call the police. I can call the police. And then I'll take the table and hit you on the fucking head with, I want my check in 5 fucking minutes. Because when they fire you in Colorado, they got to give you a check.
Yeah.
So he had to pay me like $2,000 for those 3 days I worked.
Yeah.
And they fired me December 18th.
Jesus.
I didn't give a fuck, dog. I was looking for a
job.
At a
Christmas party.
Fuck them. I don't give a fuck.
That's hysterical.
Now, another time I worked at Bill Crouch Subaru.
Yeah.
And I bought a car and they told me it was $500.
Yeah.
And when I get to my check on Saturday, I'm waiting all week. They took like $1,300 out because I said the taxes and all this shit. I go, that's not what the deal. They charged me dealer handling, $249. I go, well, that was a deal. They said, well, that's the deal now. It looks like you're a car owner. And I went to the back and I got an axe. And I got on one of the fucking Subarus and on a Saturday in front of 20 customers. And I got on top of one of the fucking Subarus and I go, if I don't get my check, I'm going to start breaking fucking windshields. And I broke the one windshield, and the one guy came out, the owner, who was cool as shit. He was a Mormon. He's like, what's the problem, Joey? Why are you breaking windshields in front of the customers? I said, because they took $800 out of my check. I goes, come on, I'll give you the money. We went in, he cut me $800. And ever since that day, he called me the renegade. He used to call me the renegade. You're a fucking renegade, kid.
You kept working there?
Yeah, he sent me home for the game, 800, sent me home for the day. And he goes, come back Monday, we'll forget about the whole fucking deal.
Only you.
Because the people were thieves.
Yeah, yeah.
See, the used car division were thieves. So for them to get the bonus, that's why they charged me the DNA. They thought I wasn't going to catch it. Once I caught it, they had to give me the money back. So they swallowed the fucking windshield. That came out of the used car salesman's fucking bonus. And I got my fucking money. And ever since that time, the guy called me the renegade. You're a renegade, kid. I love it.
That's hysterical.
I used to be a renegade when I was a kid, but I got married. That's what the guy used to tell me all the time. I love it, kid. You're a renegade.
The renegade.
Don't even make him like you no more.
So back to On It, quickly, because you started On It. You love the Shroom Tech Sport.
I love the Hemp Force protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like the Strong Bone.
Mm-hmm.
I like the packs in the morning that I've been taking those.
Yeah.
Even Salami, I gave him one of the packages, and he says that he's been sleeping like a baby. But he's had more. Salami's 46 years old, John Salami.
Yeah.
And he told me that the other day he was the first one on the mat and the last one to get off, and he couldn't figure out why, and it was because of the Shroom Tech fucking sport.
Awesome.
Go to onit.com. There's a box. Press in fucking church. Get 10% off. Let them get your email. They'll email you with deals. You're going to fucking love them. Whether it's the Alpha Brain, the Hemp Force, the fucking Shroom Tech. I'll tell you what, I'm hooked on all of them. And for a fat fuck like me that's trying to get my jiu-jitsu on, that's really trying to get endurance, I'll tell you, man, I'm impressed with the Shroom Tech. And that's where it ends. I'm not going to break your balls anymore. I'm not going to tell you what you do or what you don't have to do. Like I said on this show, I could be a fucking whore and tell you all. I just got a thing for sponsoring luggage.
Mm-hmm.
For a luggage company wants to pay us. And I said, no, I like Dollar Shave Club. I like fucking Hulu. And I like On It. That's how I throw it, bitches. That's it. It's Monday. You got to show up with fucking 3 guns. That's it.
You got it.
You got to do it. And don't forget, this Wednesday, we're at the fucking Ice House. I keep forgetting to tell people. This Wednesday at 8:30, we got a special guest. Come on down. It's a fucking real podcast. We're not fucking around no more.
Fuck no.
We're taking this podcast to the next level. Lee's going to eat edibles. He's going to stick a fucking gooby up his asshole. We ain't fucking around no more, bitches.
Fuck. And quickly, we'll get through On It and the Dollar Shave Club. I've been telling you about On It for months now. It's been like 2 or 3 months. Fucking love it. It's simple as hell. If you go to joeydiaz.net, there's a Hulu Plus banner, or you could go to huluplus.com/joey. You get 2 free weeks.
Two. Not one, not three, but 2 free fucking weeks.
2 weeks. That you don't have to keep. If you don't like it after 2 weeks, that's it. They won't take a penny out. If you like it,
bang, $7.99 a month. Bam. That's 2 fucking coffees at Starbucks for you to talk to a bunch of worthless people about nothing, about plans you're never going to do. You're not going to get on a bus because you don't want to get on the fucking bus. So stop bullshitting to these people at the coffee shop. You drop $10 a week on fucking dumb coffees to drink fucking spits. You can walk into your fucking business with your little Starbucks cup on. You follow me? Because God forbid you don't have a Starbucks and you can't be a fucking sheep. Fuck that shit. That shit ends today. You're going to go to Hulu Plus. Tell your fucking fake fucking friends to suck your dick. You're going to go to Hulu Plus. You're going to sign up. You're going to get 2 free weeks. Community. You're going to get fucking documentaries. That Ben Shack guy from, that I love from San Diego. Mm-hmm. Every week he sends me a recommendation that he got off Hulu Plus. If he's getting fucking great entertainment, so can you. Go to HuluPlus.com. Press Joey in the box. And that's it. You get 2 free fucking weeks. Not one. Two. And you get a month, $7.99 a month. That's 2 fucking coffees. Where are you going to get that type of action?
Never, nowhere.
I thought you were shaving with the Dollar Shave Club.
Today. I am.
What time are you doing this shit at?
Tonight, I couldn't. I had to get a bit early. I had to get a bit early for the show, but I got the whole package in the mail, and there are a lot of stuff that irritates me. What irritates you, Joey? Like, what's something that really it pisses you off?
You not eating edibles.
With so many things that irritate you, why would you let razors add to it? That irritates me.
I forgot to spray my nose this morning. I'm sorry, people.
Listen,
fucking razors don't irritate you. What irritates you is when you spend money for a razor and you either lose the razor or the thing falls in the fucking shower.
So why even go through that?
So why even go fucking through that? Go to Dollar Shave Club. Sign up. They got 3 different packages. Correct or not correct? What are the prices?
$1, $6, and $9 a month.
Bang!
And then why let razors add to pissing you off? The name brand razors you're using, you're used to paying outrageous prices and exhausting those razors until they start to look like a rusty soda can. Let it go. It's time to move on. Dollar Shave Club delivers amazing quality blades to your door for just a few bucks a month. Never think about it again. They send a pack every month for just a few bucks. $1, $6,
$9. You don't have to go to CVS at 4 in the morning. You're not going to go to the front desk clerk and they give you one of those shave your fucking face skins off with those free fucking razors. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Sign up today. I'll tell you what, it's a great deal. I'm waiting on my fucking things, and I'll tell you, once I shave with them, I'll tell you the honest to God truth. But my buddy was in on those things.
Yep.
And he loves it.
A bunch of people have already signed up for it.
So I'm telling you, I know a lot of guys listen to the show. You're a bad motherfucker. You want to shave your dick. You want to shave your face. You want to have all your asshole shaved. This is the way to go. For fucking $1 a month, $6 a month, you can't lose. Go to Dollar Shave Club. You guys are pissing me off. I'm getting high on these gooey bears. The pretzels are hitting me. And you know how that goes.
Join Dollar Shave Club. Shave time, shave money. And just dollarshaveclub.com/church. Dollarshaveclub.com/church. Or there's a banner at joeydiaz.net.
I want to do some shout outs. Is that all right? Dollar Shave Club.
Fuck you, man. You know what? No, it's not okay. What else you want to do?
My man, Adam Asawani. Oscar Rojas, Riley's, B, Michelle, J, I love you, Joe Bridge, Roy Logan, and Damien, happy birthday, you little Irish cocksucker, whatever the fuck you are. You know what this Thursday is?
What?
This Thursday is 25 years, which I got sentenced to fucking 6 years.
Is it really?
This year is, this it was 1988, so 2 years is 1990. 90 to fucking two is 20, and 3 years now, plus two is 25 year anniversary.
Fuck.
So every time this,
what are you gonna do?
Go out and kidnap somebody.
You know, watch Law and Order and be like, it's not me.
There hasn't been Law and Order on. I don't know what the fuck's going on in TNT. They're replacing it with Castle.
Okay.
Usually on Saturdays they have like a marathon that comes on at 1. They show you a couple old ones and a couple Benjamin Bratts and the old guy. This week they didn't have it. Not that I was up. I had the tacos Friday night. After the Ice House. That was a fun show Friday night. The Ice House. I bombed though.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't.
Well, you're trying new stuff, aren't you?
I was trying new stuff, trying to work it around, but I didn't really have anything. But it was a fun show. The place was fucking packed, man. I like what we do at the Ice House, and I like that we get the support we do. We keep the tickets at $10 for these podcasts. They don't fucking kill you. And it's just something to do, but I had a good time. I went with a girl from Flappers, Sarah. Mm-hmm. Sarah Dresses. Real cute girl. She's the media girl. We went and got tacos. I turned on to the tacos. She was drunk, and she's like, Joey, I got to tell you. this is the best fucking shit anybody's ever done for me. I go, so when she leaves Flappers,
yeah,
which is in Burbank, which I'll be there Tuesday night at Flappers.
I'm doing
a show for my friend Raph. Raph and I go to jiu-jitsu over at Valley Mac, and he does a show over at, he works with Jay Leno, but he does a show over at Flappers once a month, late night Tuesdays. So I'm going to go do 12 minutes. He interviews me. I really like that kid.
Oh, cool.
He fucked me up yesterday. He beat me up a little bit at jiu-jitsu. I love when they beat me up because I'm not good. I'm not good, so I like when they choke me out. Every time they choke me out, I learn something. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. I tap. I don't give a fuck. Go. I got no ego. Like, I don't give a fuck. You think I'm going to be a jiu-jitsu star? I go to fucking work on this gut and get my health. And I was frustrated last week because I wasn't going to jiu-jitsu, and it seemed like I was scared of my breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what deep down inside I really wasn't. I don't like to quit shit. I got into jiu-jitsu at 50 to show you guys on a podcast that you can do something at any age.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I sit here and I preach to you dummies and I do dumb shit and I insult people. But at the same time, honest to God, I love you guys and I want you guys to, you know, fuck it. You can't, for me to sit here, I got to walk the steps. I got to walk the steps at you. And that's why I always say that, you know, me being a part of the church is not what I do on the fucking podcast. It's how I live my life off the fucking podcast. So I understood what you was talking about before with Clay Matthews. I just don't give a fuck what Clay Matthews got to say. You know, I mean, I'm not a baseball fan. You know,
yeah.
I'm a baseball fan because I'm Cuban, but I'm over it, is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to say. I'm over professional baseball. I'll sit if it's a great game. I gotta tell you what happened the other day. I'm gonna cry.
Why?
I'm gonna cry. I got up the other night to piss.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sleep. I couldn't breathe, you know. And one of the cats was sick, Harry.
Yeah.
Which they took his two teeth out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Harry's badass. But the first night, he couldn't eat. So I got up and I saw him there trying to lick his teeth. And he would cry because he couldn't eat. So I stayed up with him. I held him and I pet him. And I was watching sports. And oh, my God, I fucking watched the last two innings of the Cincinnati Reds against the Boston Red Sox. Oh,
that World Series?
Oh, my God.
What year was that? Do you remember?
75. Oh, my God. Fucking Bernie Carbo hits a home. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my fucking God.
Why does that affect you so much?
Because it's Boston, bro. It was a different time for baseball. I was a kid.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I didn't spray my nose as much. My allergies are fucking killing me. But just to see Bernie Carbo and to see Carl Yastrzemski and to see Pudge when he hit that home run. And I love the Cincinnati Reds. I was a Cincinnati Red maniac. But it was something bigger than baseball.
Yeah.
It was something bigger than baseball. If you haven't watched that game, you have to sit and watch that whole game.
Yeah.
It was something bigger than fucking baseball. I don't know what it was. And I sat there with Harry and I go, Harry, you're watching history, cocksucker. And it was just amazing to see Joe Morgan and Concepcion and watch Pete Rose with his gambling ass and, you know, running around the bases thinking about who he bet tonight.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, I wonder who he bet. I was really going online and see what the action that was that night. It had to be like October 75.
Yeah.
But I watched that the other night. It was pretty fucking interesting. But no, I you know, man, that I really thought about it this morning when I got up. Last night, I thought about it. Like at about 9:30.
Yeah.
It was August 12th and the 15th is when I got sentenced.
Yeah.
And I called Manny Tomino, who was my roommate at the time. I really want Manny to call into the podcast. Manny is like 10 years older than I am, but he's from Guttenberg, New Jersey.
Okay.
And we knew a lot of the same people growing up. And I met him in Boulder. And I moved in with him off the whim. And after 2 months, I told him what had happened. And I kidnapped Ken Vella and... he was open to it. He's like, hey, bro, I got your back, whatever you decide. When I got locked up, he saved my room for me. He cleaned it. So I wanted him to call because we always have that conversation. He goes, Jesus Christ, you know, last time we talked, he goes, I was watching some fucking movie the other night. There you were at 3 in the morning. I was thinking about you being in court and getting sentenced and how bad I felt and how I couldn't help you. And look, you ended up helping yourself, you know, mm-hmm. And I don't look at it as an accomplishment. I look at it as how I keep it close to my heart because I never want to forget it. Every morning when I wake up, that's one of the things in my laundry list. That look, this is what can happen in your life if you don't stay on top of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you let life get the best of you. At that time, the coke had gotten the best of me. I was letting the coke, and I'm not blaming on the fucking coke. Okay, I'm blaming it on me. It was what happened when you add that mixture together of being crazy, insecure, confused, scared, and then you add coke on it. To be young. To be young is scary enough, you know? Mm-hmm. There's a kid who emails me every week to breast my balls, Christian Galileo, real good kid. And he told me this week that we should talk about when you go to move, how scared you are.
Fuck yeah.
And you talked about it, how when you go to make a move across the country, you're petrified.
Yeah, I told you after the podcast, when I moved out here 2.5 years ago, it was like 4 days after graduation. I had everything I owned in a car I had just bought. And I was really excited to move out here because I'd been out here for a summer. And I made it into Connecticut. And I think it's like Highway 80 or something. And it's still one of those rural highways where there's still like trees on the side of the road and stuff. And I had to pull over. And I called my mom, and I had I didn't cry, but I started having like a panic attack. Like I looked in the back, and like, you know, when you're moving in, like, and your car is full, and I didn't have a place to live out here yet, because like, LA is weird. Like in Boston, they have realtors that'll help you find a place. They don't have that out here in LA. They have websites and stuff like that, but they don't have people to help you find apartments. So I was coming out here to really nowhere. I had nowhere to live. And I had planned on staying in a hotel, and I stayed in a hotel for the first week I was here, and I just took the first place I looked at.
What hotel did you stay?
The first night, oh, it's fucking gross. The first night I stayed in a place, it's right down by the New Beverly Cinema. It's like this no-name kind of place, and it was fucking disgusting. It was like the grossest hotel I've ever stayed in. Like, there was, like, I can't even describe it. Like, there were roaches, and like, it was two beds, but like, the lights didn't work, and like, there wasn't sheets on one of the beds in the room, and I got out of there. I went from there to like the Roadway Inn, and it was the one I stayed in for like the week. You open the door to the it was the room was smaller than this room. I would open the door and you'd see the bed, and the TV was screwed to the wall, so you couldn't steal it. And I was there for 4 days, and. Cause and my mom even yelled at me, like, why don't you, because I had people here who I knew from the job, and they said, why don't you stay with them? I'm like, I don't want to ask them. And when I told the people where I was working, one day someone asked me where I was living. I'm like, oh, I'm staying in a hotel until I find a place. He's like, why don't you stay with me? And I hate it. I couldn't, I don't like, because I always feel like I'm imposing us.
Yeah, it sucks.
And I'm like, I don't want to, if you have to do it, it's fine. And I probably should have done it for like that week because it cost me like $500. But I didn't want to. Like, be on his couch.
Where's the Roadway Inn? Where was it?
It's right on Beverly. No, it was down in...
Oh, so you stayed in Hollywood the whole time.
Yeah, like, right by the New Beverly. Yeah, because I wasn't going to stay in the Valley, I don't think. I was trying to stay down there because I was working in West L.A. And I just... Yeah. So, the first place I looked at, really, or first or second place, it was, like, 8 o'clock at night. I couldn't really see anything because it was dark. It was one of those little cottages that they have from, like, the 20s or whatever that the actors used to stay in. It wasn't disgusting, but it was tiny and falling apart. Signed the lease that night, moved in, and there was no heat, there was no internet. I was just in there with the only thing I had in there was a bed. But on the way out here, for, like, 20 minutes, I pulled over in Connecticut. I was like, fuck, what am I doing? And, like, I got myself together, and I drove the rest of the way by myself, and I was fine after that. But, like, the whole, I think from, like, the Boston, the Massachusetts-Connecticut border to, like, the place where I pulled over, like, I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, I didn't know anybody, really. I knew a couple people from the place where I had worked, and I had, like, probably $4,000 saved up or something.
It's scary. It's really scary when you're a young man or a young woman to pick up. You just can't even think about it.
And even if it's like, there's people who probably, like, you, after your divorce, you moved to Seattle. And you were with somebody, but, like, you probably, did you know anyone in Seattle?
It must be. No, the scary move for me, you know those two kids that did the podcast with us, they were older cousin.
Yeah.
Their older cousin was a big, big level coke dealer. Mm-hmm. Big time. Planes, Columbia, did 20 years for unloading planes, and he's the one that talked me into going to Boulder.
Mm-hmm.
And Boulder, he's the one that talked me to going to Aspen. Mm-hmm. That's the first time I left. This is the only fear I had with moving, so this is the only thing I could correlate, the only story I could correlate. Because after that, when I moved, I had so much confidence.
Yeah.
That I already knew the game. But the first move, when I moved with my buddy Jimmy, and, you know, we were both in it together, which takes a little slower. You know, I don't know what his financial situation was, but I was covered for a few months, maybe.
Yeah.
maybe. I had a couple grand, not much. You know, I didn't even have $4,000.
Yeah.
But he had a brother who had a house, and he had rooms available, and two people had left, so we came into a roommate situation. It was like $200, so I paid rent for 2 months right off the bat.
Yeah.
Just so I didn't have to worry about 2 months. 2 months should give you a time to get a job, time to meet new people, you know, because after a while, it's not even going in the want ads and looking. It's getting out there and meeting people. They go, oh, I have a brother who owns a shoe store. He'll get you a job sniffing fucking sneakers. Whatever the fuck it is, you know. So that's what it really is.
Yeah.
And I remember driving and it taking the 3 days and we got there on a Saturday, which gives you 2 days to look around and breathe.
Yeah.
Like for me, once it's Monday, it's showtime.
Yeah.
There's no fucking time to be drinking or fucking around. It's time to get it. So we got there on a Saturday, which gave us a day and a half to breathe. Look at newspapers. But I was right off in it, you know. My big thing was to get a job and get it over with.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most important thing. Once you have that, because it's tough to go somewhere and rest for a week.
Mm-hmm.
And just go, well, I'm going to just take a week off. Even if you have $10,000 fucking dollars or $20,000 or $500,000, it's tough because you want to get your life started. You want to get in the flow.
You know,
you want to start taking classes or whatever the fuck you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember how scary it was for me. But I knew that as long as I paid rent for 60 days, 60 days, you should be able to get it together.
Yeah.
60. If you came to me right now and said, I have no money and I want to stay on your couch, 60 days would be the number.
Mm-hmm.
15 to get Carlin a job, put money away, save, and then you could fucking get an apartment, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that. So it's scary, but it's a beautiful time in your life because you look forward to the independence.
Yeah.
You look forward to getting the fuck out of there. It always amazes me that there's two types of people. There's the people that stay in their community, which I don't get mad at. I understand it. If this was a different life, maybe I wouldn't have left New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
If this was a different life and I would have had family and a mother and a reason to go home and an uncle, I would have stayed in fucking New York, you know? But no, that wasn't the thing and that didn't hold me. So it's always good to leave for a little while.
Yeah.
Even if you went back to Boston, even your roommate who said, you know what, I came out here, I moved to Northridge, I came and looked, I'll go back to Boston.
Yeah.
Some people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll talk
I almost
to them
every
year, they'll tell you, they'll say, listen, I lived out there for a while, it was different, but it was time for me to come home. And some people feel ashamed about that. I don't feel ashamed about that. You can't like everywhere.
No.
You can't. There's a lot of places in this country that I think are great to visit. I wouldn't fucking live there. You know, I wouldn't fucking live there. So, you know, people make mistakes. People are entitled to make mistakes. You know, sometimes you go, well, I thought, oh, can you imagine if you thought California was what you watch on TV? And then you come here and you show people Reseda. And they'll fucking die. They'll go, what the fuck is that thing? It looks like a bomb hit that fucking city. You know, it looks like a bomb hit a lot of cities in L.A. You just never see that in fucking L.A.
Yeah.
You see the palm trees, you see Hollywood, you see them walking out of fucking a hot club. You don't see the inner fucking part. You don't see the valley. The valley's like living in anywhere USA, which I love about the fucking valley. I didn't like the valley when I first moved here, but now I love it. I am so happy that I left New Jersey.
Yeah.
Listen, man, I missed it. And I left New Jersey, and it was tough to leave New Jersey. Now, who gives a fuck, but 30 years ago, you were drinking when you were 15, you were eating Quaaludes, you were going to the city and not standing out. You know, you were doing shit. I had a life in New York City, or at least I thought I did.
Mm-hmm.
It was a different New York. When I left, it was heartbreaking for a guy like me to leave because it was everything I had. I'm Mr. New York. You hear my voice, you hear my walk, my mannerisms. I'm a city fucking guy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm never going to lose that. That's what I thrive on. But at that time, you know, I had to save my life. I had to fucking get out of there. It was too... New York in 1980, New York in today, there's too much available to you at any time. You know, you can cross that bridge into Harlem and buy a bazooka. You know, you could buy a bomb. You could buy whatever the fuck you want in New York City. And
yeah.
It's always been that way. That's just what New York is about.
Yeah.
Everything is too available to you. You know, if we want, you know how hard it is for us to live on our diets in New York? Can you imagine if we used to work till 4 and I would call you sometimes with me for breakfast?
Yeah.
Because I'd be riding, I couldn't sleep. Could you imagine at 4 o'clock we'd get a full steak?
Yeah.
4 o'clock in New York City, you get a full fucking steak dinner with all the trimmings. You'll have a heart attack. Plus the blow, plus there's too much available to you.
What do you think now with the, with the internet? It's even more, like, because you were saying, when you said you could go into Harlem and get that, I was like, yeah, you could, but now you could go online and get, like, 10,000 times the amount of stuff.
You know, I'm naive to what's going on in the internet a lot of times. I know that there's Twitter and Facebook and whatever the fuck, and I've sat there millions of times and said, hey, man, I love to to see what it would be like to sell coke on Twitter. I guarantee people are doing
it. Oh, they are.
And I guarantee there's web pages that you could put an address in and somebody will drop off a bomb of fucking heroin or something. I don't know for sure, but I know that something's got... We have all these other things available to you. I can take a picture on Instagram and a million people can see it. Why can't I fucking... You know what I'm saying? So I don't even know what the new technologies are for buying drugs in New York. All I know is everything's too fucking accessible to you. And that's basically the fuck it, my friend.
That's it, buddy.
What else is going on with you? What do you got planned this week?
No, I'm really excited for the podcast. I'm excited that we're doing it twice a month now.
You like the live podcast.
I love it.
It brings a different aspect to the game.
Yeah.
It really does. I remember when at first people used to suggest them to me, and I watched a few Adam Carollas,
mm-hmm.
and I went to somebody else's, and I didn't like it. I didn't think I would really like it. And now I'm in love with them all. So I like the energy, the feeling of the people in the room and them laughing and having a good time with you. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to Wednesday. I hope you people can fucking make it out at the Ice House, 626-577-18. Whatever the fuck. 1836. I don't even know what the fuck the number is.
Icehouse.com. Icehouse, isn't icehousecomedy.com or something?
Icehousecomedy.com and get tickets at $10. Don't forget, I'm in DC this month and I can't wait. I haven't been in DC. I've never done comedy in DC.
Really?
Yeah. I think I did.
Oh, you did all those East Coast cities and you never went to DC?
Never went to the DC improv. I've done like Bethesda, headliners in Bethesda, and I did a club in Tyson's Corner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and shit like that, but I've never really done the DC improv, so I'm fucking excited.
Are you going to see John Rollo? Is he going to come out?
Fuck yeah! John Rollo's coming up from Baltimore, and I think I'm going to train with him one day in Baltimore. Fuck him, we'll move the beds and do a training session. Just the chance to get trained by John Rollo one time would be a fucking great thing, man. So I'm happy about that. I'm happy about the 28th. We're back at the Ice House.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm in New York City at Gotham's the 12th or the 13th of September. I'll be there for San Gennaro and fucking Artie Lang and go get some food with my buddies. I don't know where I'm going to stay yet, though. I don't know if I'm going to stay in the city. I'm going to stay in Jersey. I don't know what the fuck.
You might not stay anywhere. You're going to be in New York. You might just stay up all night.
Fuck it.
God.
Savage. I can't stay up all night. You know, the thought of it sounds great. And I'd love to tell you guys, oh my God, I stayed up all night. But fuck. By fucking 12 o'clock, I'm like, Wednesday, I'm happy because Wednesday night, I do the podcast and I'm wired. So when I come home at 11, I'll have coffee and then I'll watch two episodes of Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
And I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I'm cool.
That's like, your big night now?
That's my big night, Wednesday night. Tuesday, I'm not doing dick. Tuesday night, I gotta do flappers. So I just stay in and relax. I do the acupuncture. I take a nap. Tomorrow morning, jiu-jitsu at 12:30. Then I'll go to acupuncture at 2.
Oh,
and that's it. Wednesday, I'm around. And Thursday, I'm on my way to Boston.
You're going to do jiu-jitsu and then go right to Dr. Amy?
Right to Dr. Amy.
I'm gonna shower?
Wash my pussy.
Oh, okay. No. I was going to be like, poor Dr. Amy.
No, you know me better than that. I don't go nowhere without a shower, dog. Before I leave jiu-jitsu, I take that t-shirt off and I put it in the bag and I put a new t-shirt on so there's no sweat on my seats. And I put a cover on my sweats and I spray fucking Febreze. Yeah, I don't fuck around, dog. I don't like rotten ass on my seats. And what are you going to do? My ass is rotten. Sometimes I sit there and I cut a fart in the fucking thing, you know.
You were going off last night at the coffee shop.
What was I doing?
You farted like 18 times the last 5 minutes we were there.
Did I?
Yeah, you leaned forward and you're like, oh, I have no one's behind me.
I felt bad. You know, behind me, I was gonna kill you.
I'm jealous. You're going to Boston. You're not staying for the fights. You're just doing the two shows. But
just doing the two shows, and I get back on the plane. Go to San Jose for the 94.9 mix up at fucking Mountain View with my man Russell Peters and
Felipe
and Michael Epps and Angela Johnson. So I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a great fucking time.
It's fucking awesome. But first, Wednesday night, Ice House.
Wednesday night, Ice House, 8:30. Be there. Lee, myself. We got a special guest, Reefa. Fucking everything. The trimmings. Listen, people, I'm happy you came out today and listened. I'm happy. I love you guys. You know I love you guys with all my fucking heart, all right? Don't believe the hype. I'm happy you're fucking here today. Thank you very much for listening to us today, for all the shout-outs, for the birthdays out there. If we missed anybody, you know we fucking love you, all right? Wednesday live at the Ice House. If you don't listen to it, there will not be a podcast early Wednesday, just a live one. So get your shit together. See you Thursday, bitches.
Now that the show's over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere, on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and sign up and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And also don't forget to sign up for DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high quality razors sent to your door each and every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. I love these guys and you will too. Now go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Self-defense or fitness. Now, let's get show.